I want everyone to know that we are an hour late recording this episode because Timmy bought a bottle of wine that we did not have a bottle opener for. We didn't have a... And we sat there watching him trying to drill out a cork from a bottle of wine.
In my defense, my first attempt, I Googled in WikiHow, is like, just push the cork into the bottle. Because most wine makers, they'll leave... what do you think this is? Like 3 inch?
Yeah,
three inch gap in the bottle.
Right.
You know, maybe for this exact purpose. But I got this wine local, and this local guy, let me tell you a little backstory. On the bottle of the wine, there's pictures of like ducks or something.
Good. And I like it.
Yeah. And these, like, you know, these grapes are like, they got like the vine transplanted from like Italy and stuff like that.
Wow, so that's impressive. Yeah.
Very fancy.
So they feed the fancy grapes to the ducks and make the ducks into wine.
And the ducks pee it out. No, I'm just kidding.
Hold on, I'll be back. I need to go buy some ducks.
So it's really fancy wine. I paid a pretty penny for it. But what's interesting about this cellar, local guy, from Western Maryland, on his little board, he had a whiteboard describing each wine.
And, okay.
You know, the spacing was awful because, he just handwrote it himself. So it's like some words were like squeezed in. So like this wine is like, does that say citrus? Maybe? Okay. But then also in the corner is like whole duck, $25.
What?
And he just has a cooler behind his wine selection where he just sells whole ducks.
Hmm. Man.
Yeah. Okay. So he does... There are ducks on his wine, and he sells ducks and wine. That's what he does. Ducks and wine.
Wow.
Pairing so, right there.
So you brought a bottle of wine and didn't bring a duck?
Yeah.
Could have bought the duck. We could have cooked it.
I could have brought the duck, and we could have spent 2 hours cooking the duck.
Yeah, during recording. Right. Boom. There you go.
That's no, true. You would have woken up at 4 o'clock and cooked the duck for us, and then you would have transported it warm.
I mean, Lord knows I was up at 4 a.m., so I actually could have done that.
Believe it or not, I was too, for no particular reason. I just woke up at 4.
Yeah, same.
Whoa. Kelly, were you up before?
Fuck no. Why the hell would I do that?
I don't know. Like, maybe there's something going on. There's energy in this room. This 4 a.m. energy.
No, Kelly and I got good sleep, it seems.
Long story short.
I went to bed really late, but...
I mean, same here, but I still got more. I still wasn't awake at 4.
Long story short, there's cork dust all over my kitchen.
Yes. Yeah.
Used my impact drill to drill the cork out.
And it was so... Okay, here's the other interesting thing. Because, like, you know, the push the wine cork in. I got to a certain point and the air pressure against the wine liquid was too much that I couldn't push it any further down. So I was like, well, it's not going down. It has to come up. So I drill into it and it just, you know, it doesn't grab. The bit doesn't... It's not, like, long enough, I guess. It's, like, too narrow because it's supposed to drill through, not... catch things.
Well, it's not a corkscrew, so
right.
It's a drill bit.
It's good for making holes. So what ended up happening was I drilled it out a couple times, and then I was able to drip out some wine. And as soon as I was able to drip out some wine and release some air pressure, I was able to push the cork in. But the whole bottle of wine is just cork dust galore. So you know what I did? I poured that cork dusty wine in my sister's favorite wine glass, and by golly, I'm drinking this.
There was a strainer.
The cork dust was too fine.
Oh, okay.
That drill bit worked really well.
Well, if you start having huge abdominal pain, because I don't know what cork dust is going to do to you.
But I think it's going to do a damn thing.
No, I don't think so.
I know it could be a duck cork. You never know.
That's true. It could be made from duck. But no, in that case, duck. It's all natural,
right.
And I'm totally fine.
Yeah.
So, write in. Tell us if this cork dust will kill me one day.
Or maybe we'll tell the fans when the cork dust kills you.
That's true. Be like, Timmy is no longer with the podcast.
So we're gonna reference this episode when you eventually die and have to explain it to your son.
It'll be on my epitaph.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Cork dust. No.
You could still blame John because he didn't have...
That's true. Cork dust killed him.
Right.
But it was John's fault.
But it was John's fault.
Literally, they just come into my house and be like, you have this, you have this, you have cheesecloth, you have... Why don't you have all these things, John?
And what's so funny is the night before, I was like telling my wife, I'm like, I need to bring a corkscrew because I honestly don't know if John has a corkscrew. And
you could have texted. You could have texted.
I realized that in hindsight. There are many things I could have done. I could have brought the corkscrew. Brew, B, I could have texted you or called you. Be like, hey, do you have a corkscrew? Or C, I could have just waited till a store opened, which was, by this point, it would have been open.
They're definitely open, yeah.
By the time it took me to draw this corkscrew, it would have been the same amount of time for me to drive to a store, pick up a corkscrew, and then come back.
Right. There's a liquor store, like, a block that way.
Yeah, yeah.
I could have jogged. Wait, why didn't you mention that before I started drilling?
Because it was funny.
It was way funnier. It was way funnier watching you do it. Yeah. Also, I have to point out that you were complaining about too much wine being in a bottle.
Yeah. It's a very niche. It's a very niche circumstance.
Very, very odd complaint.
Any other very circumstance, I would not complain about.
Circumstantial complaint.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. The second thing that I wanted to bring up.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Radically changing subjects is, man, what is the name of that comic book store in Easton? Beyond Comics. Well, I'm sorry.
You better Google it right now before.
You're right.
No,
you're right.
No, whatever. It's just a comic book store.
Whoa.
His name isn't even on the front of the building. Doesn't
you are telling me that, we talk about third places. Comic
like book? Galaxy Comics or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
It's the only comic book store in Easton. Like, comic it's not store. Like people are going to confuse it with the other one.
You're not wrong.
Comic book store.
There is a Goodwill that might have comic books. I might mix it up with that.
Is it a comic book store?
Oh, no.
Are you going to go there and play Magic the Gathering?
It's called Portals. Goodwill.
I might.
Portals.
I'll ask
Portals.
One of those. Wait, what?
Portals.
Portals, Games, and Comics. They have a lovely place, a lot of tables for you to play.
Uh-huh.
If you're in the Easton area, check out Portals, Games, and Comics. But the thing that was really cool is they had these little packs. It's called Davis Mystery Dice, and it's a very ominously looking package. It's got a blue label with a icosahedron on it, and it's a black package. There's no labeling. So I got two packs, brought it to the counter, and I was like, I don't know how much these are and how many dice are in here. And the person was a little they didn't seem to know. They're like, I think there's a whole set in there, and I think it's $6. I'm like, oh, $6 for a set of dice? Yeah, I'll
take
that.
That's not bad, actually.
So I got two packs because shout out to James. He needs to build his dice collection, so we shuffled them around.
Uh-huh.
And we did, and we opened it up. He got this pretty wavy blue dice, and I, very fitting for this season,
uh-huh.
if that's a little foreshadow,
uh-huh.
this is what my dice look like.
Man, you should have saved them to open them live here.
I mean, I should have brought a third pack.
Show them to all of the audience, Tim.
Yeah.
Yes, I will show.
Wow, this is a visual medium.
This is a visual.
They're orange.
They're orange, which is perfect for spoopy season.
Look at that.
That's true.
Happy spoopy season, y'all. I'm rolling these dice today. If I have to roll extra, I'll bring an extra. But this D20, that'll be my main roller.
Gotcha.
Yep. Let's say first roll.
Oh, yeah. First roll.
I don't have much.
Tension is so high.
18 on the die.
Okay. All right. That's Portal Comics in Easton for 18 on the die. First roll. I also have to point out the package that came in looks exactly like something you would get at like a cannabis dispenser.
Yeah, I was about to say. It looks like weed.
I was going to say that, but I was like, what you got in there, Tim?
I thought the same thing.
I had no idea.
Tim, you sweet summer child.
The one person who would never know what that is got the thing.
I was like, what type of gum is you in there?
Yeah. Pause recording and go back for a minute.
We get through one session before it hits.
So spooky season. Jesus Christ! I've had zero drinks. I'm just.
I know. I'm the wine girly today.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Speaking of spooky season, one of my favorite memories of like Halloween is going to like haunted hayrides and haunted mansions and stuff like that. And I want to tell you a story of one that my grandparents took me to when I was, I don't even think I was 10. So it was
a baby Jake.
Yeah, it was a little
I'm
baby.
Jake, it's a little baby.
So it was one of those haunted trails. So not like a haunted hayride where like you're on a cart, but like you're walking through. And they, before like a group starts, they ask if how many kids are in the group and like what their names are. And the way that they say that is by being like, just in case somebody gets lost, you know, like we know obviously kids, you know, you want to make sure they're protected. So they prefaced it by saying like, we just want to make sure that we know who all the kids are and keep track of them and stuff like that, because this can get really scary. And they fucking had a system where they would walkie that name to someone in the back, And when you get to this one part where there's a guy sitting around a fire, he stands up and then he addresses the kids.
Oh,
okay?
That's cool.
It was so awesome. It's awesome. But 8-9-year-old Jake, as we walk up to this guy sitting around a fire, he just goes, "Where is Jake?" And little me was just like, ah! it was awesome.
Those are guys doing their jobs, right?
Dude, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. At the time, scared shitless. On the way home, hilarious. It was so much fun. And now, in my 30s, I'm just like, that's awesome. That's amazing. That's an amazing idea. What experiences have you guys had in like haunted houses or like haunted hayrides and stuff like that? What was like one of your favorite experiences?
I went to a haunted farm in Delaware. I can't remember the exact. It's a fairly well-known, like, because it's a whole farm and they do the whole thing up as a haunted house kind of thing. You walk through cornfields and old farmhouses and stuff. And the whole time I was like, because it was me, my brother, his then at the time girlfriend, and our older sister. So my brother was with his girlfriend. I was dragging she's like 4 years older than me. I was just dragging her through all these houses and she was just freaking the fuck out. I couldn't even pay attention to anything because I was just like, no, you can't run backwards. You have to go forward.
You have to go.
Yeah. Like, I think, was it called Field of Screams?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, because I did that too. I was like, God, how many years ago was it? But like, me and my one friend went, and like, you know, it's the one thing that the actors and stuff, like when you go through like the long trail, because it's the trail that they say, okay, once you go in, it pretty much exits the park. It's like one of those trails that just keeps going and stuff.
Yeah.
Besides going through and be like, wow, this is really neat looking and all that stuff. Like, there was the walk into a building and like the floor starts shaking and like it's on like a rotation thing. So like, you're staring, like, so you're like on one corner and then it just starts like slowly vibrating, so you're like, okay, I need to get out of this. But the entertaining thing is, like, obviously the actors know exactly who to go after.
Oh, like, of course, yeah.
So it's like we're just going through and like we're just like, oh, this is fucking awesome and stuff like that. But like right behind us there was just like some high schoolers, and like it's got the pretty much typical guy and girl, and like they're all like, yeah, like that's okay, babe, like whatever,
yeah, I'll protect you.
Yeah. And like the actors just immediately like pinpoint them and just start scaring the shit out of everyone. Like, I remember like one of them just start running past and just screaming at high of their lungs. Just, gosh. And then we're just like looking by and it's like, you know, a demon clown just like looking at us, looks at them, just keeps following them the entire way through the maze. Just like, all right.
Demon clowns are a big hit in haunted houses. I don't know why, but they hit so hard.
they're great. And like, honestly, like some of the visual effects that they did in this one too, like, you know, theater companies, God, that would be so cool to go through it, because it's like using insulation foam spray painting it to look like mold coming out of the floors. But they did a cool thing. All right, but it was using a laser, like, and fog, so it was kind of like a laser that just went like straight and level.
Okay.
And then like use a fog machine to go up, so like the laser was hitting the fog and made it look like you're wading through like
smoke. Oh, I've seen that. Yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah.
You know they were hardcore because they did this thing where they got regular-ass chainsaws and just took the chains off.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was a guy that was dressed like Jason.
Oh, yeah.
They would chase. Through. There were these guys who would just pop up in the middle of the field while you're on the hayride and just chase after you with whirling chainsaws.
Like, no, that's a real chainsaw.
Yeah,
that's
a real chainsaw.
I don't have any real, like, good memories of haunted houses or hayrides. Like, I've been in a couple. I don't think I've ever been in, like, a particularly, like, great one.
It just all really sucked.
I think one time I was with a group and somebody I was with punched one of the people that jumped out.
Oh, come on.
I think that was, like, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, so they, like, hit him and then the person was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And they just kind of, like, went back into hiding and we kept going. That's, like, I don't know. I haven't been to, like, a great haunted house.
They usually tell people, like, that... One, the actors cannot touch you.
Yeah.
You know, they're literally there to scare and jump out at you and stuff like that, but they're obviously not going to hurt you. And so, and anyone that, like, swings, it's like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
You're here to be scared and have fun. Why are you swinging?
I would say it's kind of funny that you mentioned the chainsaw without the chain on it, because that is, like, my most salient memory of a haunted house. Or, like, it was, like, actually a haunted walk through the woods. So they had like several scenes, which is pretty cool. They had like a creepy, like little girl. Well, this one's a little girl, but it was like a person dressed up as a little girl at a tea party, and like dolls that like, you know, like move their heads and stuff.
Oh god,
that was super freaky. They of course had the, you know, classic demon clown.
Yeah,
he's got to have a demon clown.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, some like crypts and stuff. But yeah, the last like leg of the journey was a person with a chainsaw without the chain.
Man,
and like when you, because like, you know, you've heard, like, I don't know how, if everyone's heard a chainsaw before, but like, you know,
I used to work for a tree care company.
Yeah.
Right. John knows.
I've used numerous chainsaws.
Well, I don't know how many of the users or listeners like have been like, oh yeah, I chainsaw every weekend, you know, cut down trees. But like when you hear like that gas powered engine and you smell it and then you see it, you're like, I'm gonna die.
I
remember there was one point in the hayride where they pulled you into a barn and then they locked you in and all the scary stuff happened.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
like,
one of those That's guys, the woman sitting directly across from me, she was just like looking and scared. This dude slowly walked up. Chainsaw was whirring, but there was noise all around us.
Yeah.
Like, he touched the back of her neck with the chainsaw and just revved it.
No.
I'm pretty sure she pissed herself.
The demon clown thing reminded me. I've been to a few others. There was one. There was one that like me and my cousin went to going through, and they had cells in like whatever place we were. I don't remember where it was, but they had cells where like jail cells, mm-hmm. and they had like actors behind it and stuff. And my cousin, who was like all hopped up on like adrenaline, and he was like you know, antagonizing them and stuff like that. There was a demon clown guy behind one of them, and then my cousin was just like, "You're in the jail cell. You can't even get out." And he was like, "You want a bed?" And he crawls under it and just books it at my cousin. And my cousin's just like, "Ah!" and just starts running down the hallway. Like, yeah, you don't antagonize the demon clown guy.
No. Rookie mistake.
The pens are made of rubber that can slide through cracks in the floor.
Does that apply to giant hellhounds?
Speaking of demons.
Devil, probably.
Technically a devil.
They get really upset when you confuse them.
I know.
They find it quite offensive because, you know, the devils constantly fight demons. You know, the abyss and the hells are always at each other.
Oh, yeah. Completely different.
Law and order. Can't they just get along and kill all the good people?
Yeah, it's a shame. It's really sad.
The devils would love that. It's just that demons are uncontrollable.
Yeah.
This Nessian warhound, however, was pretty offended that Elk would crit it last time on the end of his turn. And this Nessian warhound has an interesting ability that when it gets crit, its breath weapon immediately refreshes. And it can use its breath weapon as a reaction.
Oh, whoa.
That's cool.
I missed that part.
Oh, yeah. If you remember last time, I ended the episode by saying, I need you all to make a reflex save.
Next time.
I'm going to write a very strongly worded letter to Paizo.
Like, 10 reasons why the Nessian Warhound is OP.
you go, 2 weeks too hard. And Jason Pullman says, yeah.
What's your point?
One word back. There's not even a signature in the email.
Okay.
Just notes from Jason Ballman. So I am going to need, luckily this it doesn't reach that far down the hallway, but I will still need Benson and Elkwood to make me some pretty good reflex saves here for this breath weapon that it unleashes, as it's quote called a hellish revenge.
Well, you know what? Elkowitz going to flip it off because he rolled natural 19.
God damn it.
All right. Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't matter because, you know, evasion.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
See?
26.
26. Damn. That's a fail, my friend.
That's still pretty good for you.
I rolled a 16 on the die, yes.
So let me just go ahead and roll some damage here. How's 32 points of fire damage there, Benson?
Yeah, it hurts a bit.
Don't you have protection for fire?
Yeah,
or?
Is it 10?
I think it's just... No, I cast it on both of us, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did.
So then it's 10.
Yep.
10. So 23?
22.
22.
Yep. All right, so a total of 22 coming out. So you knocked off a third of the damage, which is good.
Yeah.
All right, and then it's the Nessian Warhound's turn.
Like, how is that legal?
Right, Jason Wallman. I don't agree.
It's written in the book, that's why.
Yeah, that's why. Now let me see. Okay, so it is not going to use its breath weapon again on its turn. It is instead just going to chomp out at you, Benson.
Hey, you know, that makes sense.
First attack. 35 to hit?
Yeah, that hits.
Whew. That is 20 points of damage.
I saw Stone Skin active, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, which are Stone Skin reduce?
It's minus...
Five.
Okay, so... minus five, and then resist all the fire, so you only take 8 points of total damage.
Okay.
Damn.
Yep, because this thing has fire, it also has evil damage on top of it, and it has the bite, so it's got piercing from the bite, evil from being evil, and then the fire damage. Second attack from the jaws. 32.
That meets my AC.
Alright.
That
is going to be 28 points of damage reduced to 19 points of damage.
Good.
Last attack. 27?
Nah.
Nah, I miss. Alright. That was the Nessian Warhound's turn. Adalar. I have to remind you before you start your turn.
Okay.
There's a gorilla.
Yep.
Oh,
and
right.
it busts the door down, didn't it?
Yep, it busts the door down.
It closed the door. It's just
been
ripped it off.
Throwing its arm and trying to, like, swat Kezra as it's just, like, just behind the door.
I mean, it's kind of great when Kezra can't get hit by something, though. Like, it's trying.
Yeah.
It's really trying.
It's trying his little gorilla heart out.
How you doing there, Benson?
If I had to put a number to it, if, like, 120, I'm at, like, 82% of that.
82% of that.
I have 82 hit points.
Oh, that's not quite 82%. That'd be like...
I wasn't going to do the math, Tim.
you can't do percentages in your head, John?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm dumb.
So I'm going to...
I'm down 40.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll wait another turn.
Okay.
I'm going to produce...
Produce flame? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to produce flame on the gorilla.
Damn it.
Okay. God, the
name. No, I'm going to produce flame on the fiery dog.
Real quick, we sure want to be wasting actions on the fucking gorilla right now?
Hey, yeah. Man, it busted down the door. Until Kezra disengages with the gorilla, I feel it is my responsibility.
Right. Also, it's a gorilla. I don't know if we've discussed this, but it's a gorilla.
And, like, there's a better chance of me critting the gorilla than the Warhound, let's be honest.
Okay, it only did 40 damage to me with all my immunities in one turn.
Don't worry about it.
Oops, there goes the dice. Oh, natty 19!
Oh, thank God.
Woo! That gorilla's gonna be on fire.
How does a 35 suit ya?
Yup, that's a crit.
That is a crit! Okay, not a natty, but that's okay. So 44 plus your spellcasting ability modifier on a gorilla success takes double damage and 44 persistent. This gorilla is dead. Yeah,
it's a very dead.
Most likely, but
unless you roll absolutely garbage.
No, I'm gonna roll great.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, actually, I did roll pretty great. 26 points of fire damage.
The gorilla is dead.
Bye, gorilla.
But I have to say that the gorilla, as it's dying and engulfed in flames, it looks at Kezra and in common, for the first time, it goes, "I'll find you, and I'll kill you. I'll kill you again. You didn't kill me."
Just keep... no one can give the last word. They just have to keep going. I'll kill you. No, you won't. Yes, I will. No, I won't.
Is that the end of your turn, Adler?
No, I still got one more action.
I hate all your actions. I hate them
I
all.
Love all my actions.
I think you liked him during
doing?
The Clay Golem fight.
Is Vermeer okay?
I think he is, yeah. I don't think he's really taking any damage.
Because he's like right next to me, so...
Yeah, let me check. Nah, he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. Alright. Have I casted Guidance this combat? You know, I'm going to say no, and if someone is mad, they can write to us, and...
So I'm going to write to you.
You're going to write to you. Wait, did I use it?
No, I don't know.
All right.
Benson, this being is a lot for you to handle, but I know with Abadar's Guidance, you can take it down.
I was inspired the way I saw you kill that Gorilla.
Yeah, you do see a giant gout of flame behind you, and you see a gorilla burning alive.
Just smell burning fur.
Where the fuck did the gorilla come from?
Don't worry about that, Benson.
No, I feel like I have to.
I have questions for their comments.
Hold on. Dog, stop. We gotta talk about this.
Sit.
Sit. The warhound just sits. Okay, fine.
It's lawful.
It's lawful evil. It has to obey.
Wait, can I, like, treat with this? Can I, like, use a nature check to try to, like, improve its mood towards us? I could just undo my guidance.
I mean, Benson's technically a lord, so...
all right. After that, it goes to Kezzer.
All right.
How many more gorillas do you have in your pocket?
Well, last time it was a ray of frost that produced the gorilla.
That's a weird sentence.
Only in Pathfinder.
Only in Pathfinder.
So we'll see if this ray of frost produces another gorilla.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
So I move up, back up the hallway.
Yep.
And I'm going to ray of frost.
I would absolutely love it if there was another gorilla from this.
Just a crit fail would be nice, too.
Nah, just another shit roll.
Yep.
No, 21 doesn't hit.
Nope.
Okay. No, but it produces a wombat.
Oh, that's one of my favorite animals.
Random.
Aww. I love wombats. They have square poop.
Oh.
I don't know. This podcast is forever cursed because at least once during every fucking recording, somebody has to talk about shit.
That brings into question the shape of their butthole. I mean, it's just the inevitable logical step there.
It's always you guys cracking the fuck up, and me and Mark looking at each other, being like, "Wow, this is what we're doing with our Sunday, huh?"
The child inside of you two is dead.
Yes,
correct.
Yes.
Correct. Completely correct.
I killed it with alcohol.
Alcoholism, the only thing Lord. That can kill.
Oh no, that's really sad.
Was it like a Play-Doh press or something? I just.
I guess.
Hey.
You know what? I googled wombat poop, and the first thing that came up was wombat poops cubes, and scientists finally got to the bottom of it.
Oh, thank God!
Finally. All right. Well, we have to know now. This is important.
Do we?
Yeah. I mean, I personally
you can't just say something like that and then be like, "All right, let's keep playing."
See, the thing is that it's a scientific article, so it's like really fucking long. A cross section of the wombat's intestine is like a rubber band with two ends kept slightly taut and the center section drooping.
Okay.
The rigid and elastic parts contract at different speeds, which creates the cube shape and corners.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yep.
Remember, John, you chose wombat.
I did. You're right. You're fucking right, Kelly. This is my fault.
You had to
fuck
know.
Fuck you, people.
You could have been any animal. Any normal animal with normal shaped poop.
You know what? Let's talk about echidna. Let's talk about its dick.
Can't just toss that one up there for Jake. Known poop shape knower.
We've already broken Tim for like not far into our first episode of this recording session.
We're not even through the first turn yet.
That's true. It's round four, but now it's the top of round five. Benson, your turn.
Okay, well, I'm going to lay on hands myself for a little bit of extra healing.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful, Benson. I can go another turn of not healing you.
I hate you so fucking much.
I imagine your hands like glowing with like healing magic.
Yeah.
And he says that, and you're just like, "Well, hold on, wait."
Gives a temporary bonus to my AC as well, and I will swing with my last action.
Alrighty.
My next familiar is definitely going to be a wombat.
Jake would never kill it.
No, I wouldn't.
34.
34. That is a hit.
Okay.
35.
That's still a hit.
Oh, okay.
13 points of damage.
Alrighty.
And I don't need to raise my shield because I'm a bad motherfucker.
Yep.
Swing again? Or?
Land hands is two actions.
Is it two actions?
Yeah.
No, I'll swing again.
Yay!
Why not?
That's what I thought. I thought it was like a single action or something.
Yes. We've probably been over that before. Let's see what we get. It is... it's not going to hit. That's before even the minus.
Wait, what's the total?
The total would be 21.
No, yeah.
That is a garbage roll.
That is pretty bad. All right, so that is a miss, which means it goes to Aquit's turn.
Okay.
Crit it again.
I'll try. All right.
Wait, no, don't crit it.
No, go right ahead.
Do it. I'll do it. All right, so he's going to take his two-action shot. And 12 on the die. That's a plus 19. Sorry, okay. I've been doing math wrong. So, it's adding plus 2. Is it 19 to his shots?
Okay.
So that would be a 31 to hit.
That is it.
Okay.
Beautiful.
So I'm going to roll these really cool dice. They're knucklebone dice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They look like caltrops. They look like D6 caltrops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll probably hurt.
Yeah.
Shit. But, all right, so... Oh! Okay, I'll take that. That's 8. Let's see here. 15 points of damage.
All right.
Solid.
And as last action, from the, like... You'll just kind of like see the arrow kind of like shoot inside of more directed Benson. The arrow like hits a certain spot, like around like its shoulder or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And you'll see it like pulse, and he's giving you Benson. Hit in that area. It'll be a little bit more effective as he's going to give you his Warden's Boon to give you precision.
Nice.
Cool. Yes. I like this.
Also, it's lawful evil if that helps too.
Doesn't affect my interactions at all. I was going to kill it anyway.
Okay, that works.
All right, it comes to the Warhound's turn. The Nessian Warhound is going to...
Bring it on, baby.
It doesn't look like he's getting shot from Elkwood, so he is going to...
Can he get by me?
No. He's not really worried about that, though. He wants to do something else. So he's going to strike out twice.
Okay.
Your AC is probably...
My AC is very good right now.
Oh, yeah.
But this thing sounds like you can hit pretty damn hard.
Not with the 2 on the die. That is definitely a miss.
Yay!
Second attack. Wow. Total whiffs on both of those attacks.
I'm scared.
And then it is going to... It's not a dummy.
It's scared of the gorilla.
yeah, it's all we did to the gorilla. And it's like, that was a lot of fire.
They killed it with fire.
And it is going to back up into the hallway on the other side.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, he's drawing us in.
Oh, man.
All right. That is its turn. Strikes out twice. Realizing it can't hit Benson as easily as it did last time, is going to go around the hallway and wait for you guys to come. Hmm. Adalar, your turn.
All right. Adalar is going to do something he typically does not do.
Kill Vamir.
Strikes out Vamir. How dare you?
So I move... Actually, I think I can get right. Yeah.
It's bold for your low AC.
I move up to Benson, and I am going to use Battle Medicine on you.
Okay.
Oh
wait, cool. I need to pull up my little medicine skill.
Oh, yeah.
Since I am under the effects of stone skin, do you need to use a chisel?
No, I need to use some mortar.
Yeah.
Slaps with dry cement.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to attempt...
Quick creep.
...the DC 30. So, it's not impossible, but I won't be upset if I don't make it.
That's impossible.
I made the DC 30.
Very nice.
So,
very cool.
Kel, that is 2d8 plus 30, I believe.
I'm at full health. That just brings me to full.
Are you sure it's plus 30?
Oh, yeah, he did lay on hands, too, so...
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I have it. I should just have it marked right there. I'm sorry. Sorry, wasting air.
I was down, like, 42.
That was the DC 30?
Yeah.
Yeah, 30.
Okay. Yep. Damn. So I don't even need to roll the 2d8.
No, I was down 42, perfect. And I lay on hands, and then you just plus 30.
I was like, why don't I do that more often?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, you can only do it once per hour or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
you're not character.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not Dr. Brick?
Nah, not Dr. Brick. I didn't take all that other...
You didn't go to med school?
I didn't go to med school. Just sort of band you up. So that's one action, two action. Man, I was feeling a little brave.
Feeling brave?
Brave.
Gonna jump into the lava?
You did... yeah, you can do that too. You did walk up to Benson and then use Adamus.
Yeah, I got one action left.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. So 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. What do I see around the corner?
Oh my goodness.
Oh wait, that's all I can see. Never mind.
Yep. So you walk around the corner and you see the Nessian Warhound as its flames begin to roil up hotter and more violent.
Stop, beast! You are no match for us. Submit. Become Kezra's new pet.
Is this whole place made of asbestos? How's it not burning everything down?
It's made of clay, actually.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh,
wow.
It actually just gets harder.
Yep.
And more resilient.
Yep.
And brittle.
All right, is that the end of your turn?
Yes.
Okay. Kezra. Idolar very stupidly ran up to the Nessian Warhound.
Yep. Sounds like him. I guess I will go.
This whole campaign is Kezra and Adelar getting into bad situations and Benson being like, hey, god damn it!
But you'd expect it from me. Can I stand there without being burned by lava?
Can you stand the... No. Nope. If there's lava in a square from where he's cooking, that is lava. That is a lava square.
Right, well, I'm not hashtag
gonna,
lava square.
Hashtag lava square.
I'm not going to stand there, but I can see him from here, right?
Yes. Yep. He's got a little bit of cover from the wall, but that's...
Yeah, whatever.
Wait a second.
I'm going to miss anyway.
So what you're saying is that the floor there is lava?
Yeah.
Shut up, Tim.
Single clap.
Natural one.
Good.
That's a spell, right?
Oh, yeah. Another spell.
Summon gorilla.
Another spell, another gorilla.
Fucking hate this combat.
Does it say summon gorilla? Tell me this is summon gorilla.
Please. No, the spell critical is you made him stronger. The target gains a +2 bonus to attack rolls until the end of its next turn.
Oh, no.
So just so everyone knows, that nullifies my shield bonus.
So I went to prepare Ray of Frost. I accidentally prepared some sort of makeshift Ray of Enfeeblement that did the opposite effect and gave him a bonus to his strength.
Oh, so you said the words backwards and then it did that?
Oh, yeah, basically.
Yeah. He said in reverse.
Ray of Frost backwards is Ray of Enfeeblement backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the double reverse Uno.
Right.
Benson, I saw he wasn't hitting you easy, so I made it a little better for him just to make it... This is a sporting fight.
The combat's been so stupid.
Yeah.
I have summoned a gorilla, missed a Ray of Frost, missed another Ray of Frost, and made it stronger.
Made it stronger.
All with Ray of Frost.
All with Ray of Frost, yeah.
Yep. I should probably just unlearn the stupid spell.
You need to uninstall and reinstall.
Yeah. I know, somebody turn Kezra off and reset him.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you're right next to me.
Yeah, just stab me. Just stick your fucking longsword straight through my neck.
I'm just going to take the pommel of the sword and just right on top of the head.
Dunk. There you go.
I literally have an ice attack, which will hurt this thing really badly.
Yeah, but ice is not your thing.
That's why.
True. That's why.
I'm a dragon. Everything's my thing.
No.
You're in fact a half orc.
Literally.
You ain't a dragon.
Tell Kezra that.
But if you were a dragon, literally dragons have a thing. So. They have one element that they're good at.
I know, but flying. But dragons legitimately think they're good at everything.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
And they're better than everybody at everything.
And see,
I mean, that does
why...
track with Kezra.
Exactly.
Speaking of people
I don't care about lightning dragon.
Speaking of people who are good at everything, Benson, it's your turn.
Great. Oh, sorry.
Top of round 6.
Walk right up there to his empowered fangs.
Yeah.
His AC, though.
Although it's like the fire is roiling on him. Suddenly his fang glow with magic.
Kezra, what the fuck?
No, here's what actually happened. He cast magic fang on him because Kezra secretly wants to make this his pet.
Aw.
Oh, you're trying to parlay with him?
Or you're trying to murder Benson.
Both are applicable.
Okay, last action because I had to use two actions to get that far. Fucking armor sucks.
We're gonna test out the theory of can Benson be crit without a natural 20.
That's true.
We did that with the golem and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Alright.
Come on.
What did we get?
Oh no.
I get a +17 to this and I rolled a 25.
Ugh.
Yikes.
Yep.
This combat sucks!
After Benson, Elkwood.
Okay. Elkwood is going to take a move action, get up here, and two actions to take a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Kelly. At least someone's doing something right.
Woo!
Natural 20.
I mean, there's a plus and a negative to this.
Hey.
So
these cool. Actually, he can probably only hit me with that.
Yeah. So natural 20 there.
Card, Kel.
Oh, yeah, shit. Yep.
I know, we're not used to drawing those Ooh. Cards.
I know. Not this combat.
I'm over here just lamenting my lack of whiskey in my glass.
17. Me both.
Piercing, right?
Yes.
Pinhole. The target takes one persistent bleed damage, and it can't be removed until the target's healed.
Oh, okay. All
right. And double damage, too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You poke a little hole in him.
So, that was a decent roll. That was a 5, 2, and an 8, plus 2 there, so it'd be 17, so that'd be 34 points of damage.
Oh, owie.
Just snipes it, like, Sweet. Right in stupid neck.
Hey, Kesra said we needed more out of you, and you're doing it.
I'm naturally angry.
All right, it is...
He's on creep up there.
All right, and Vamir flies up a little bit.
Teacher, doesn't it get a free recharge if its breath
does
is a reaction?
Does get that. So I'm going to need Benson and Adelar to make me reflex it.
Tim, I'm going
to
fly over this table.
Yeah, like Jake would forget that.
No, definitely not. I wanted Elkwood to crit.
Well, at least I'm being consistent because I rolled another natural 16, which I already know fails.
25?
Both fails.
Ah.
On both of you. So you guys are going to be taking the full fire damage here.
Wait, you rolled a 16?
Yeah.
And
it's 26.
And that's with your full plate bonus? For AoEs?
Sorry.
It should be. Foundry does it should calculate that in.
Well, no, it won't calculate it in because it's only for area of effect.
Yeah. Oh, I got it.
It's not for all reflex saves.
Okay.
Then 27?
Still a fail. That is...
Oh, no.
No, it should be more. You get it'll be plus 3.
Plus 3, so 29.
Still fail.
Oh, gosh.
This thing's pretty scary, guys.
30 points of fire damage.
20 points of fire damage.
25 points of fire damage.
You see a ring on Adelar glows bright red as it sucks in a little bit of the fire.
Ooh.
I am currently at 100 hit points, just even.
I would love to be at 100 hit points.
Put in the work.
All right, it is then going to unleash a breath weapon.
Again?
On its turn, yeah.
Wow!
This fucking sucks.
What?
How can you double breath weapon, though?
That was a reaction.
Well, it's a reaction, but after you use a breath weapon, it has to recharge, doesn't it?
It's
a free recharge. So it...
It's a free recharge.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay,
but it's,
so...
it's still spent.
Yes,
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you, Tim. I've never doubted you.
In which case...
You still have to roll. He could roll one.
Sorry, yeah. He'll still just bite you at his full map.
It is not going to bite Benson. What it is going to do is it's going to make an athletics check.
I was going to give him a little kiss.
Yeah.
Doggy.
It is going to make a... it's going to try to shove.
Oh, it's going to try to shove you in
So
lava.
It is going to try to shove Benson into the lava.
That's what it wanted to do.
How's a 41 against Jeez. Your athletics
season? Huh?
How do you calculate?
10 plus 10. Your athletics.
Yeah.
10 plus my athletics. That's probably going to work, but I just need to figure out if it's a crit or not.
Yeah.
It's definitely a crit, because your athletics is probably like plus 14.
Where?
Under skills should be the first.
I apologize. Where's skill?
That's fine. This will be really important to see how far you get pushed.
Yeah.
Where?
It would be under your skills.
Let's see. Skills.
Yeah, where is that in Foundry, though?
Right.
I mean, unless your athletics is a plus 21, I think you're going
to
be
great. I'm just trying to find where this is.
Right. Under your...
This is Let's Learn Foundry Together.
Mm-hmm. Perks conditions.
Athletics plus 14.
Plus 14.
So 24, so yep. Yeah.
So
that's a crit.
Yeah, that's kind of a crit.
Just a little bit.
So he gets pushed 10 feet, Kel, is that right?
Yep.
So...
Into the lava.
Benson, you get pushed... 5 feet back, and then another 5 feet back as you get pushed into the lava, and it is now standing in front of you and Adelar. Well, let me go ahead and see what kind of damage you take there.
Oh, for lava.
For the lava.
Lava damage.
Let's see.
I have fire resistance.
I do have fire resistance.
This is going to be 5d6 fire damage.
Oh my gosh. Your own personal fireball.
Yep. So that is going to be 18 points of fire damage.
Okay, 8 points of fire damage.
That's not bad, actually. For literally being chucked into lava.
Yeah, that's why why did you throw it?
I couldn't reach you.
just throwing dice.
Nah, just talking shit. I wasn't that worried when he said he shoved me. All
right. And so after it shoves at Benson, it is then going to do its two other attacks on Adalar.
Hey, it has to take the multiple attack penalty because he's shoved action.
That's fine. And I also...
he's your AC. Come on.
I know.
I retributive strike, though.
All right. So let's deal with the attacks first, or this attack first.
Can we just picture this? Mm-hmm. Benson gets shoved into lava, mm-hmm. and from the lava just is a sword.
Yeah.
Well, it's also the shield coming out to protect you.
Yeah. Chink. All right, so attack on Adalar. God, shit, roll 22.
You think that could pierce the armor? 24? Has...
Yeah, that hits.
Oh, it was the plus two.
Wait. You're within 5 feet of me. He gets plus two to his AC.
Okay.
Miss.
Okay, so I miss.
Dangs off a bit of shield. Chink.
Let's go. I still get the retributive strike.
You still get retributive strike, too.
Oh, let's go. Paladins are awesome. Yeah, except for their movement. Oh god, 28.
Nah, miss.
That's so shit. I'm rolling so fucking bad on attack rolls.
Last attack.
That's a minus 10.
It is going to be a minus 10. On Adalar. Natural 1, actually.
Let's go. This thing can roll like shit, too.
Yeah, sure can.
The decks are working right now.
Yep.
Head meat wall. You're stunned one.
Let's go.
Oh,
nice.
Okay. All right.
Nice action.
So it goes to bite. Do you know what? Benson's shield, as it put up, it just went gong into its head, and you see stars floating around its doggy head.
It's like my shield's currently in its mouth, and I'm like laying in the lava.
Yeah.
Just trying to hit it with my sword.
It hurts.
All right. After that, it is Adalar.
All right. So what's the probability that I can entreat with this thing to become our pet?
I'm guessing not great. By the way,
don't
aren't
kill
you,
it anyway.
You're not lawful good, are you? You're lawful neutral.
Lawful neutral.
Do
yeah.
you speak abyssal?
Ooh,
It's not. It wouldn't be abyssal. It would be.
Right.
Infernal.
Infernal.
You speak infernal?
Let's see. Bonus language is 3.
No, we went over this last time because it actually said something before you guys walked in.
Yeah.
And we're like, huh? Nobody knew it.
No, he said, "Damn, that paladin's handsome."
Yeah.
He should worship Asmodeus.
Don't tempt me, devil. But thank you, that was really boosted my self-confidence.
Oh, right, yeah, none of my cantrips really work against this guy. Why did I run up to it?
Great question!
I was wondering that too, but I didn't want to say anything.
Slap it.
Whatever you do, just make sure you back up so I can get out of the fucking lava.
Hey, Adalar, use the wand of water.
Elkwood, you're right. This is fire. I shall put out its flames.
One action, draw
I feel
the
like
wand
Benson,
of water.
No. Benson's laying in the lava and be like, why have I been cursed with all this incompetence?
Use the wand of water on Benson. He's just like steaming constantly.
No, he uses the wand of water and it just encrusts Benson and all this rock. Down lava.
Minecraft rules.
Right.
The most brutal way to kill a man, and you're just standing there with a wand.
But you're doing fine as far as health goes. Yeah, because I healed you last turn.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Adalar, what are you doing? Come on.
I'm looking at my spells, and I know it sounds weird, but I kind of don't want to use any spells on this thing. So
perfectly fine.
Yeah, I think
you could heal it.
Good deal.
So I'm just throwing
maybe
options.
Maybe it would become more friendly.
No,
that way.
Give guidance to somebody else.
What's that?
You give guidance to someone else.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Elkwood, Apatar will guide your arrow.
And then he's gonna back up.
Thank you.
I feel lawful neutral already.
All right, and then he goes all the way back there.
He goes wee 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 all the way home.
Actually, I have one more action. I can technically cast guidance again.
Yep.
So.
Kezra,
you get a guidance.
You get a guidance.
And that's his turn.
All right, Kezra, your turn.
I'm casting True Strike on myself.
There we go.
True Strike for Kezra.
True Strike's never failed, so.
And doing for Ray of Frost again.
Uh huh.
With a plus one.
With a plus one.
It can't possibly fail.
Double that one.
Two Ooh. Ones.
One of them was a natural one.
No. Okay, True Strike, well spent.
That'll be 30.
30 is a hit.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Had used True Strike and the plus one, because we know a 29 doesn't hit.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. Wow.
So stupid.
Yeah, but you might kill it.
Right. For a cantrip to hit.
I'm going
to
roll in here.
I see some fours.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Cool. So that'll be 15 cold damage.
All right. The cold seems to do a ton more damage than you were expecting.
Beautiful.
And still up, but barely holding on after that attack.
And Kozo says, hey man, chill out.
I think I'd have been dead so long ago.
Yeah, imagine if you'd hit those other three spells.
It would have been dead 2 rounds ago.
Pretty sure it was four.
Yeah,
two of which were crit fails.
Are you doing anything else on your turn, Kozo?
That was 3 actions.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Top of round 7. Somehow. Benson.
Okay. So, like, shield in mouth. Benson just kind of throws himself out of the lava and rolling to here.
All right, you take 23 points of fire damage.
I take 13 points of fire damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what? We're just gonna fucking swing.
Does he have to stand up? Is he prone or is he standing?
No, it's only a foot deep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You step out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, are you gonna actually hit? That would be nice. Fuck you! Okay.
What'd you get? Was
it 26?
He's rolling with the same number every turn.
Yeah. Fuck it. We're just gonna swing. I'm just gonna swing one more time. It's gonna miss. It's gonna be shit, and I gotta click over to see it.
30.
30. Okay. 30.
There you go. That 30 is hit. Yeah.
What precision jam do I get?
You don't get it.
Cause that was last turn.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It only lasts for like basically one round.
15 points of damage.
That was really good. As your bastard sword goes into its neck and it gouts fire onto the floor, and collapses into a charred husk of a hellhound.
I feel like Benson he cuts in and just immediately throws himself backward, just starts putting a fire that's on him.
Yeah.
Give me the wand of water.
Please spray me.
Adelar does go over the wand of water to put you out.
Funny enough, I think one of the reasons why Benson, like, normal people just, you know, fall in the lava, you die. Benson is also constantly surrounded by a magical cloak that can't be destroyed by mortal means.
Yeah.
Kezra just walks over and just starts blasting Ray of Frost into it constantly. Turned into a fucking snowman.
Yeah.
Roll to hit.
Shut up.
True strike.
No, see, what happens is Kezra's casting the Ray of Frost on the wand of water as it's shooting out. So it's just like a snow cone machine.
Oh, that's cool.
This is a great business venture. Why have we never thought of this?
Snow cones.
Can you imagine? Snow cones in the Mwangi.
I mean, you can only use that wand once per day.
It'd be highly sought after. There we go.
So this kitchen, as it literally kitchen. Let me read the room again.
You don't have a pool of lava in your kitchen?
Yeah, it's a kitchen.
Put like a cast iron pot on that. Yeah, just cook soup on it.
Yeah.
Yep. Good. Smoked meat and roasted fish hang on the hooks embedded in the walls. White clay jars, while clay jars on the floor are packed full of yams in various stages of fermentation.
Oh.
A heavy metal cooking grate covers a glowing pit in the floor.
I'm eating some meat.
Shall we sample the wares?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so we take a little snack break.
Yep. It's pretty good. I mean, it was pretty much broiled. It cooked extremely fast on the lava.
Can we determine what kind of meat?
It looks like there's some deer, there's some snake, it looks like there's some kind of exotic birds, or
birds like paradise thing.
Don't let that gorilla corpse go to waste.
Throw it into the...
Oh, it's already cooked, remember?
Yeah, it's already cooked, yeah.
Flame broiled.
You go back to get the gorilla, and it's just flame ash.
Wait, no, it's ash?
It's also a summoned creature, so it disappears.
Yeah, that's right.
So pissed. Goes back to the ethereal plane and just angrily shakes
its head.
Isn't that like a spell, like you like eat food, but it tastes like ash or something?
Cup of dust.
Yeah.
That's a curse.
Feast of ashes.
Feast of ashes.
You guys get about a week's worth of ration for yourself, as there's tons of meat around here.
Oh, yeah. Replenish those stocks. That's great.
Okay.
All right.
can't remember the last time.
Anything in the jars?
The clay jars on the floor are packed full of yams in various stages of fermentation.
Yeah, we definitely picked up. I think we probably picked the most fermented, you know?
Right. The one closest to vodka, probably.
Yeah.
That's true. It's a root vegetable.
It says something on the front of this jar. Smirnoff.
Yam Smirnoff. The cult of cinders invented.
I mean, Smirnoff is just potato sweat anyway.
What do you guys want to do at this point? Are you taking your 10 mini?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know if one of the reasons why I didn't use Angelic Halo is because I couldn't remember if I had used it or not. So
okay.
I'll just take the 10 mini and I for sure have it now.
Gotcha.
Yep.
So I will say, as you guys are in this room and you're sort of taking your 10 mini,
hanging out, eating.
Yeah. The lava pit there, it never crust over. The lava just sits there constantly boiling.
Yeah. What's so funny is I thought you were going to say the opposite. Like, since the Hellhound's gone, it's going to start crusting over, but wow.
Nope.
Can I take magic on it?
Ooh.
Yeah, it grows faintly with some sort of very strong divine, like, destruction magic.
Okay.
Can I acknowledge it?
Yeah, can I do a religion on it?
Go and roll religion.
This is called the Pool of Dahak.
No, this is just what are they called?
It's called Dahak's Dung.
Again with the shit, but this is the George Foreman Dahak Grill.
29. You think that just the presence of Dahak in this place is just keeping the fire and heat and lava from ever going out.
Wow.
I think that's an interesting contrast because we had the problem with the clay golem where it, like, thematically, we said it shut us off from the gods, and now we're just... I think this is a great example of how deep we are in enemy territory.
Oh, yeah. This pool... Kezra, you're right, it does glow with strong magics. I feel the Hawk's presence over this. That is why the lava keeps roiling. His very being is powering this. I sense that if we cleanse this place, this pit will extinguish eventually.
In the meantime, can we determine if it empowers our fire magic?
Does it?
Benson, go ahead and stick your sword in.
You actually asked me to do that? Okay.
No. You'll probably damage your weapon, though.
No. I meant, if I cast Produce Flame, will it be a stronger Produce Flame?
Nope. You Produce Flame in your hand, and it seems to be... it seems to be just as powerful as normal.
Okay.
It just seems like the presence of Dahak is, like I said, just like keeping the lava and heat here.
I'll poke my sword in.
Well, actually, I have a dagger that's like kind of like a throwaway dagger.
Just in case.
It's a +1, so it's magic.
Oh.
I don't want your sword to break.
I have two.
But
yeah, one of them's broken already, if you remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Never mind. Stick your dagger in.
I just poked the tip. Boop.
You pull it out, and it's certainly missing the tip of its dagger now.
Yeah.
I do not think we should dip our weapons in this.
For the body of the Hellhound, is it, like, still there, or does it kind of, like, vanish?
Oh, yeah, it's a devil.
It is a devil. I'll say that...
I think they turn to... They usually, like, have some sort of, like,
you know, there was a
truck.
Yeah, there was like a rollable table to see what happens to
like first edition,
to like
right?
fiends. Yeah. There used to be something like that. No, it just turns into like a husk. So obviously the fire was its like life force and stuff. And so it just looks like a, you know how like ghouls look and like sinewy and like So it just looks like that. It just looks like a husk of a dog.
Yeah, because he's
large dog. Man.
Yeah, because Elk kind of like absentmindedly just kind of goes over, kind of inspects it and like sees if there's anything to kind of like just take from it, just for the hell of it.
It had a name tag,
just for the hell of it.
Yeah, but he's kind of like just inspecting because he's obviously like, well, you can't salvage anything from this creature, he's like, I don't know, if there's like horns or something on it because it's a hellhound or
something. Wait, so you said it had a dog tag?
Oh my god, it did, yeah. It was a named creature. That's what I was getting at.
Oh, yeah.
What was his name?
I can't read Infernal.
Adelar, cast Comprehend Languages, and then you can read the name.
Really? Really? It's a...
Yeah, it's a name creature, yeah.
But we can't read it.
No, you can't read it.
You just take the dog tag off,
I
guess.
We'll tuck it away.
Yeah, sure.
I was just asking for the audience if they wanted to know the name, but...
Its name, I thought this was funny for all of our Dark Souls fans out there. Its name was Izalith.
Oh!
Wow, okay.
Fun.
Which is very cool.
I like it.
It's a real fucked up place in Dark Souls.
Yep.
It's all fire.
Yep.
Brimstone.
Hey, look at that.
That is most likely where they got the name.
Oh,
from,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The witches of Izalith turn into, like, giant flaming spider demons.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's one of the most iconic, like, fights or, like, iconic areas, yeah. So, what do you guys want to do next?
Well, my healing magic is quite potent still, so I am ready to move on. I still have many of my spells. How are you all feeling?
We're taking a 10-minute rest, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is after your 10-minute.
Okay, well, I just want to know so I get my focus point back. I'm ready to move forward. I don't see much of an issue here. There's no way in hell... Kicks the dog, pun intended. No way in hell that they don't know we're coming now, so we might as well just go.
Yes. Resist energy and stone skin will probably be done by now.
It's definitely been done, because you guys took your break anyway.
I forgot to cast heroism on you, so you would have gotten a +1 to a lot of those rolls. My bad.
If only Benson knew he was a hero.
Yep. No.
You guys go into the next door. So this room, it's at the very tip of the footpole of the Fortress of Sorrow here.
I would have moved there already, but I can't.
So it comes in from... So it's, you guys came in from the east side, and so you're going up and around to... So it's now going southwest.
Okay.
So there is a door at the end of the hallway there that would lead to the westernmost room. Mm-hmm. You guys know of the door on the other side of this room, but you assume it's as long as the break room that you guys were in last time.
And that's the one that we heard hammering.
Yes, yes, you heard ting,
smithing,
ting.
Smithing, basically. But you still hear tinging?
Ting. No, you do not.
Kezra, I have a question.
Yes?
Do you still have the ability to cast Fireball from your staff?
Yes, I have one more.
What if Elkwood's very carefully opened the door, and Kaz just launched a fireball willy-nilly into the room. We'd certainly hit something or someone.
Something tells me that's not going to be very effective on most of these things.
Yes. Something tells me we won't know.
It was effective on the last room.
It wasn't.
Oh, there was full charge.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sure, in retrospect, I should have been like, yeah, it looks like a charred game of Mancala on the floor. It just totally scorched the board.
Yep.
I can stealth up to the door.
Just blindly throw fireballs around.
Oh, cool. 28.
Okay, yeah, so you stealth up perfectly fine. You guys don't even hear his footsteps, you just see him. And then you open up a door, and Kezra, you launch your fireball on him.
Yeah, sure.
Open the door.
So, as you open the door and you launch your fireball, the fireball goes out and collides in the center of the room. When the smoke clears, you see 1, 2 of Dahak's chosen.
Oh, no.
The creature that previously killed Skult.
Oh, crap. Those things.
I'll see you guys next time.
Ah, Jesus!
Oh, my gosh.
This is bad.
Yeah. These are the ones... Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But they have no pillar to hide behind this time.
What's going on, everybody? This is Timmy from the Dragon Punch Squad podcast. You may also know me as the voice of Adelar Vaynor, cleric of Avatar. You might not know, but we are all over the internet. We have a Twitter at Dragon Punch Pod, Facebook Dragon Punch Squad Pod, and Instagram Dragon Punch Squad. If you want to join our fantastic Discord, full of great people, supportive, budding GMs, players, got Discourse. Add us on Twitter for an invite link, and we'll be sure to get you in. Also, speaking of our Twitter, we have a link tree that links to all of our links to, you know, the Facebook, the Instagram, everything. Oh, yeah. And did you know we have merch? DragonPunchSquadMerch.com. We got anything you could ever want. We got hats. We got shirts. We got mugs. You want it? It's there. Also, if there's something that you want that's not there, just shout us out. We could probably get it in the shop. And finally, be sure to spread the goodness of the DPS to your friends and family. Word of mouth. Also, leave us a 5-star review on the podcasting app that you use. That helps us a ton for discovery so that other people can hear the Dragon Punch Squad podcast. All right, that's enough of that. Keep punching, punchers.